Good morning. Good to see you all. Love to hear the buzz of everyone talking. I do have an important announcement right off the bat. Somebody had lost a earring here, so it was out in the park. Britt, you were checking. Was it yours? Okay, I saw you check it. But anyway, it's heavy. You know, so that might mean something. But anyway, if you have lost an earring, a gold hoop earring, out in the sidewalk area, parking lot area, I'm going to place it right here. As a matter of fact, hold on. I don't want to place it right there. Sheila? Sheila has it. So if you have an earring, right there it is. Okay. All right. There you go. So let me go over a few announcements with us as we get started. Vacation Bible School kicks off tonight, as you can tell. We are underwater here this morning, so it's going to be an awesome time. It starts at 6 o'clock with a family fun picnic. Desserts are needed, okay? And so I know there's some double doozy cookies coming, and I kind of got in trouble yesterday. So can I tell this story? Is it okay? Okay, good. All right. So Allie and them come over to our house, and they make some cookies in the oven, and they're smelling real good. And they had just the right amount of cookies numbered, you know. I didn't know that. I just thought they mismade a bunch of, you know, cookies. And so I got me a bowl of ice cream, and I saw them there, and they were outside, and I thought, I'm going to get one of them cookies to go with my ice cream. And then I opened the cookie jar, and there's Chips Ahoy cookies in there. And I took one and put it in that pan and took one of the ones that she just made in this one. Yeah, so if you get a double doozy cookie and it has a Chips Ahoy on one side, you know where that come from. But anyway, yeah, that's my weakness, ice cream and chocolate chip cookies. So anyway, tonight everyone is invited. We'll have fun for the kids, so be sure to dress them appropriately. Bring a towel and swimming suits for clothing. There's going to be blow-up balloons over here and everything. We just ask that, you know, there's two-piece swimsuits are covered by a t-shirt. Registration will open at 5:45 during Vacation Bible School. I want you to be real clear here. During Vacation Bible School, the only door that will be open will be the front door. So the side doors and back doors will be locked. Maybe we do that for the security of all of our kids. We want to make sure that they're safe. There's one way in and one way out. We don't want, because things get crazy. So we just want to make sure that everyone is safe. And so those doors will be locked. So you'll come in through the front and you'll go out through the front, okay? Sunday, August the 4th, is Homecoming Sunday. We will only have a 10 a.m. service followed by a potluck lunch. Worship will be led by Aaron Melcher. And the message will be delivered by Brother Ronnie Stinson. Ronnie Stinson was at Trace Creek, and his son, Ronnie Jr., is there now. So Ronnie Stinson will be bringing the message. If you hadn't heard Ronnie Stinson, get ready, okay? He's like a Gatling gun. And so he is just a wonderful, wonderful man of the Lord, so you'll be blessed. Sunday, August the 18th, we won't have an 8 a.m. worship service. We'll have a 10 a.m. worship service. So that way you can just mark your calendar. First Sunday, August 4th, one service at 10 o'clock. August the 18th, one service will be at 10 o'clock. And then following that service, we'll have a potluck fellowship. So if you have any questions about that, please see one of the deacons about that or one of the pastors about that as well, August the 18th, okay? Also, so I don't forget, I'll try not to, we need some tables and chairs set up after the service. So if you could stay for a few minutes after the service and help set up some tables and chairs getting ready for tonight's picnic. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. We'll also be in 1 Peter chapter 2 today. Father, we come together once again for another service. We don't take for granted, Father, just the wonderful opportunity and how you've blessed us beyond measure to be able to gather together as your church here on this hill in Massac County. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to have the freedom to open up the Scriptures, to study the Word of God together as a family. And what we know, Lord, is there are a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ all throughout the world that don't have this freedom that we have today. Father, they are meeting in private places. They're meeting in underground churches because if they get caught, they will be imprisoned or even killed. And so, Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, as we pray for one another, as we grow in our relationship with You. Father, we do pray for all of our volunteers and our workers that are preparing for tonight and this week for Vacation Bible School. But we also pray for every student that comes into these, every child that comes into these doors. That God, You are preparing their heart right now for the lessons that are going to be taught. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone lost, that they would be saved. And God, that we will plant many, many seeds in the lives and in the hearts of these young children. We know that this world is after them. We know that Satan is after them. But we ask for Your protection and we ask for Your guidance. Lord, now speak to us through Your Word as we study it. Speak to us through the songs that are going to be sung. And we give You all the glory that You and You alone deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
Morning, church. This is Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and consumes His foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all people see His glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship Him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of Your judgments, Lord. For You, Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. For He guards the lives of His faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name. So we're going to do just that. We're going to rejoice in who God is and all that He has done. He has been so good to us. So let's lift up our voices and sing of the goodness of God. I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. rejoice in the Lord now and always. Sing it again, we rejoice. Delight in the love He has shown us. Gratefully lift up your voice. His gentleness among us will join our hearts with praise. We gather in His goodness, family of grace. With each breath He's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. Rejoice and be anxious for nothing, praying for all that you need. Come with a song of thanksgiving, lay your request at His feet. His peace will fall upon us to guard our hearts and minds. In Christ who reigns eternal, the shepherd of our lives. With each breath He's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord now and always. Tell of the good He has done. Worship the Lord to remember all of the joy yet to come. The hope that burns within us, the dark cannot destroy. With praise that's never ending, we say again, rejoice with each breath He. These times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. With each breath He's given, praise the Lord. These times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. We have every reason to praise the Lord. We have every reason to praise.
May be seated. We have every reason to praise the Lord. If we can have our ushers come down as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. Over anymore, you know that? I think there's two there. There you go. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Charlie, would you bless this offering?
Lord, we thank you for this day and this opportunity to come in and worship.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter. But sometimes I'll get asked from different people about what is your ultimate goal as a pastor? Or what would you like to see in being a pastor? And it causes you to think about that. And so my ultimate goal and desire is to help and teach everyone to walk with the Lord. More than anything else is to be able to walk, because we know that we live in a messy world. And sometimes it's hard to walk. Sometimes we're at a crawl. Sometimes we're just trying to stay one step ahead. And so, you know, when I was in youth ministry, one of my desires, because when you're in youth ministry, people think that it's all about pizza and playing games, but it really isn't. You know, that's part of it, but it's ultimately about discipling students. It's about teaching them and getting them ready for the years to come. And I want to be able to say, and I know Caleb is the same way, that because there is a youth group, but that youth group will not always be a youth group. They're going to go off to college one day. And they're going to be able to go to college at different places. And so the ultimate goal is for them to be able to stand alone wherever they are and trust God in whatever situation they're going through. And the same is true for each and every one of us, is that if we're not walking with God during the most difficult times of our life, how are we going to be able to stand alone in the face of oppression, in the face of trials and tribulations? And so it's walking with the Lord. It's that desire to teach people and myself as well how to walk with God in those difficult times of our life. Well, Peter is doing the same thing. He's encouraging his listeners who are scattered throughout. And they're going through difficult times. They're going through persecution. They're going through trials. They're going through messy lives within their society, within their communities, within their homes, and all of these things. And when things begin to crumble down around you, what is it that's going to be your rock? What is it that's going to be your cornerstone? What is it that's going to be the thing that helps you stand up when everything else is falling down? And Peter wanted also and had a desire through the inspiration of the Scriptures to be able to teach believers how to walk in adversity, how to walk in trials. And so, going back to what we were looking at in chapter 1, he was sharing with them about our hope. We live in a world that looks as though there is no hope, but you and I as believers know that there is hope, and that hope is Christ Jesus. Amen? And so, as he was pointing them to the hope of Jesus Christ, he was also pointing them to how you ought to live your life as a Christian. How you ought to live your life as a believer. What does that look like? What does it look like to be a Christian? And so we're going to look at chapter 2. And we're going to look at what does that mean and what does that look like. And how do we do that? And what's the road that I should take to be able to do that and do that well? So in chapter 2, verse 1, you see a therefore. When you see a therefore, you always see what it's there for. Because of what was just said in chapter 1, it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice. The very first thing that he says, rid yourself of all malice. And that malice is someone who does deceitful things, someone who does evil, who's wanting to do evil, who's wanting to cause harm or harm someone else. Someone who's desiring to take vengeance for themselves because maybe what someone has done to them. So therefore, I've got to be vengeful and I've got to protect myself and I've got to do this. And he said, rid yourself of all that. He's reminding the believers that you're not to look like the world. You're to look like Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be holy. To be holy is to be separate. To be holy means to be set apart. If your life looks like the world, then Christ probably isn't in you. Because when Christ comes in you and who is your life, there is going to be a change. And there's going to be a change in your attitude. There's going to be a change in your actions. There's going to be a change in your walk. There's going to be a change in everything. So rid yourselves of that old way of life. Why? Because you are a new person in Christ Jesus. Remember who you are. Remember who you belong to. So rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. That does not look good on the believer. Hypocrisy, envy, slander, deceit, malice, those things don't look good on us. But it's something that we battle every single day. The life of a believer is a life of battle every day. If you're not battling, something is wrong. If you're a believer in Christ and you're battling every single day, you know what? You're in the battle. It's not a playground. It's a battlefield. It's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for everything about you because there is someone who wants you to fall. And that someone is Satan. He wants you to fall in every single way. He doesn't care anything about you. He doesn't care about your family. He doesn't care about your job. He doesn't care anything about you. And Peter is reminding us to stand firm. Peter is reminding us who we are and who we belong to and to rid yourself of all these things that you used to live for and you used to live in. And then he goes on to say, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may what? Grow up in your salvation. Has anybody ever told you to grow up? Have you ever told someone you just need to grow up? What does that mean when you say you just need to grow up? What means they're acting like infants? They're not acting right. They're not acting the way they should. And we've probably told someone that or someone's told us that. Maybe as kids or we've heard it along the line. It means that you and I are to grow up. You and I should not be relying on one person to feed us. As a matter of fact, we should be feeding ourselves in our relationship with God. We should be walking with the Lord on our own, not relying on someone else to hand feed us everywhere we go or everything we do. And this is a challenge. Peter is challenging them to make sure that you're not relying always on someone else, that you should be relying on your walk with the Lord to feed yourself as you grow up in your salvation. Now, yesterday I got tickled watching my granddaughter, Brinley. She got a baby doll that Mimi had bought her. And this baby doll is, you feed it. I mean, comes with a blender, comes with a packet of little food, and you put it in there and you blend it up and you take a spoon and you feed the baby. And you give it water, literally water. And guess what it does? Yeah, it comes out into a diaper. Brinley loved it all except when that happened. And then you get a taste of your own medicine, right? And so didn't really like the changing of the diapers. She did all the other stuff. When it came to changing the diapers, didn't like it. But you know, it didn't cry to be fed. Why did it not cry to be fed? Because it's not genuine. It's artificial. It's just a toy baby. But we know without a shadow of a doubt that a real baby is going to cry when it's ready to be fed. A real baby's going to cry when it's hungry. And some of you probably stayed up all night last night because you had to feed one of your children. You had to feed your baby. Why? Because it is craving milk. And you were up feeding it through the night, caring for it through the night. Why? Because it's not imitation. It's real. As believers, and as a true believer, I want you to hear that. As a true believer, you're going to desire the Word of God. You're going to desire in your life prayer. You're going to desire in your life the Word of God. You're going to desire in your life to walk in the obedience of the Lord. You know, there's a thing called false Christianity. There's a thing called going through the motions. There's a thing called going through everything that I need to go through. But you know, it can still not be real. It's not real until you desire the real thing. And the real thing is Christ Jesus and a relationship with Him. And He's changed everything about you. And you know that there is no one that can convince you that Jesus isn't real. And so as you grow in the Lord, let me turn with me really quickly over to Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 6.
In verse 1. Actually, let's back up to verse 12. It says, in fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and move forward, taking forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God Jesus, instruction and about cleansing and rites and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. And God permitting, we will do so. You see, our growth and our desire also comes from God's hand as well. God permits us, and we are who we are, and we are where we are, how? By the grace of God. And I know this for a fact, that I know that God is not done with me. God is still working on me. I'm not who I used to be, but yet I'm not who I'm going to be. And God is working on you and in your life as well. But as a believer, we're striving to grow up in our salvation. Sometimes as a pastor, we just want to say, grow up in your salvation. What does that look like? Well, it means you're just not relying on a Sunday morning service to feed you. It's that you wake up on Monday morning desiring the Word of God yourself. You wake up on Tuesday desiring the Word of God for yourself. And you can't wait every single day to know and learn more about who God is. Through the inspiration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in you, He's the one that leads you. He's the one that guides you. Now let's go a little further. Now that you have fasted and know that the Lord is good, and you have tasted that the Lord is good. I don't know about you, but I have tasted that the Lord is good. The Lord is good in every single way. You don't have to look far to see that the Lord is good. But do you know what Satan wants you to do? He wants you to doubt the Lord's goodness. Because if he can get you to doubt the Lord's goodness, he can get you to doubt everything about who God is. He did the same thing with Adam and Eve. Did God say? And I've said this before, that you may be going through a difficult time in your life and you begin to doubt. You think, yeah, if God's good, why am I going through this? Well, it could be you're going through this because God is good. It may be you're going through what you're going through because God is good. And God is trying to get your attention. And you know what? You hadn't been listening. God will get your attention. He will get you to listen. Why? Because He loves you. And because He cares for you. We know that the Bible says in Hebrews 2 that He disciplines those He loves. You discipline your children, not because it's fun, but because you love them. And through that discipline becomes correction, and that correction gets you to be where you need to be. Why? Because you strayed off. And in God's goodness, He does that. Why? And now that you tasted that the Lord is good, He is good. Let's go further. Verse 4. As you come to Him. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him. He is the living stone. And you and I are living stones, little living stones that come to Him. You also, like living stones, are what? Are being built into a spiritual house. You're being built into a spiritual house. That's why we say that God's not done with you. God's still working on you. Why? Because He's building you into the image of His Son. You go to a subdivision, it's a new subdivision, they're building. Those buildings are at different places. There are some that you're just starting to see the foundation coming in. You know that in order to go up, you first must go down. The strength of the house comes from the foundation that's built. And the further that you go down, the stronger the house that is going to be built. If you're just building on a surface, it's not going to be a strong house. That's why it's important for you to go down deep and go down studying the Word of God. Why? So that you can be built up as a strong spiritual house. One that can't be blown over when a storm comes. One that can't be just rolled over when just a simple thing comes. No, because listen, the storms are going to come. Storms are going to come into your life. It's not if, it's when. It's going to come. How strong will you be when it comes? Your strength is going to come for how deep you go in the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you, and it's what he's talking about, being built into a spiritual house. Why? To be a holy priesthood. That word holy again means to be separate, to be set apart. As believers, we're set apart unto the work of God. You're not to look like the world. Now we know that the world hates those who are believers. Jesus said, if the world hates me, get this, it's going to hate you. If the world loves you, then something is wrong. It means you're trying to blend in. You're trying to be a part of both. You're trying to ride the fence. You're trying to teeter between the two. You can't do that. You either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You are to love Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. And when you do, you know what? You go against the grain of the world, and the world hates that. The world hates it. You know, there's a danger. I want to talk to parents for a moment. There's a danger in wanting your kids to be popular. And wanting your kids to be liked, I get it. I understand it. But when you fall for that trap that the world sent your way, they begin to look like the world. You, as a parent, are to lead by example. And sometimes the hardest thing to do as a parent is to say no. Why? Especially when they come to you and they say, well, all the other kids are doing it. Or all the other kids have it. If I don't, then I won't be like the rest of them. And I know that temptation comes your way that you just want them to fit in. Do you listen to that? I just want them to fit in. You want them to fit into what? The world? The world? If we want them to fit in more than anything else, we should want them to fit into Christ. And to fit into Christ and to follow Christ means that you go against everything that the world says and has to offer. Because we know that that road leads to destruction. Yes, we want to be their friend, But ultimately, your desire and your heart's desire is to be their parent. And sometimes that means making some of the hard decisions. And trust me, when they get older, that will lead them as an example to lead their children. And so we're being built up into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone." Jesus is that precious cornerstone. He's the one that holds everything else together. When everything else is falling apart, when your family's falling apart, when your job is falling apart, when relationships fall apart, you can always go to the chief cornerstone. That is Jesus Christ, who keeps everything together when everything else seems to be a mess. God isn't. And so Peter knows what they're battling. He knows what his hearers are battling. He knows that they're going through things just like you're going through. We can't say, well, they didn't go through what I'm going through. They went through everything that we're going through. And he knew that. And he knew they were scattered. As a matter of fact, they were going through heavy persecution. And he wants to remind them, Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the one that will never let you down. He's the one that will always be your rock. Go to Him. Trust Him. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble. And a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because why? Because they disobey the message. Why do they stumble? It's plain and simple. They stumble because they disobey. It's always better to obey God than disobey God. It's never good to disobey God. It's never good to go against His commands. It's never go against Him. Why? Because it does not turn out well for you. I've been there. Have you ever disobeyed God? Have you ever gone down that wrong path that you wanted to go down and that wasn't where God wanted you to go down? It didn't go well, did it? I can tell you right now it didn't go well. The reason they stumbled is because they disobeyed God. They disobeyed God. Verse 9, but you are a chosen people. Here it is. He's reminding them who they are. If you're a born-again believer here under the hearing of my voice this morning, you're a chosen people. Not because of anything you did. Not because you're good or you deserve it. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, when did He choose you? Before the foundation of the world. Before you had done anything good or bad. God set His covenant love on you and toward you, and He chose you before the foundation of the world. You are a chosen people. You mean to tell you how much you're worth today? Because I know this, and I've been in ministry some 30 years. I've been in youth ministry many years, and I've had people come to me, and I've had people share with me and tell me, I've been told all my life I am worthless. I will never amount to anything. You're no good. And they begin to believe it. And you know, if you hear something enough, you begin to believe it. And I want you to know today how much you're worth. You're worth so much that God would bankrupt heaven and Jesus would leave to come and die in your place. You want me to tell you how much that's worth? That's worth the blood of Jesus Christ. He left heaven for this. for 33 years. He would be ridiculed. He would be beaten. He would be flogged. He would be persecuted. He would be spat on. He would have everything coming against him. Why? Because you are worth it. Don't let anyone ever tell you you're of no value and you're no good and you're useless. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You are so worth it that he died on an old rugged cross. Why? That you might be with him forever and ever and ever. Don't listen to those lies. You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. Oh man, your garments are royalty. He clothed you in His righteousness. I mean, you just don't have just any old clothes. You have God clothes. And it has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession. This is coming from the Word. This isn't me. God's special possession. This is good news. We ought to leave out of here today victorious, singing, praise, hallelujah, amen. A holy possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. What exactly does that mean? It means He rescued you. Amen. He rescued you. You have a story to tell. What's really neat is I'm looking at each and every one of you, and each and every one of you have your own story of your life, of what you've gone through. And I know some of you have been through a lot. You've been through a lot growing up. But I got great news. As a born-again believer, Jesus rescued you. He pulled you out of the darkness and the deadness of your life, and what? He made you alive, Ephesians chapter 2. You not think God has a plan for you? Look back at your life. Look back at your journey. And you see where you're at right now. It is a rescue story, and each and every one of you have a story to tell. You don't have the right to remain silent. Because you have been arrested by God's grace, and in God's grace, you and I are to praise God. Why? Because we have been rescued from darkness. And we walk in the light of God's presence every single day. But the world wants to dampen that light. You know what? You used to shine bright for Jesus, but now you've become a flicker. Because over time you've been dampened. And Satan has thrown a blanket on you. And I want you to know today, I want you to shine brighter than you've ever shone before. I want you to take that off. And I want you to ask the Lord to rekindle that flickering flame in your life. And I want you to shine bright where everyone to see. You don't care what anyone says or what anyone thinks. The only thing that matters in your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to hear it from the rooftop. I want to hear about your faith over there in Karnak. I want to hear about your faith in Polk County. I want to hear about your faith over there in Hickory. I want to hear about your faith everywhere you go. Why? Because you're shining bright. I want to hear about your faith wherever you work. Well, but Trad, we're really not supposed to talk about God where I work. Tell that to God. That's like going and saying, I really can't talk about my wife. I can't talk about my grandkids. Is anybody ever going to stop you from talking about your grandkids? Ain't happening, right? As a matter of fact, let me show you a picture or two. Let me show you a video. Ain't no one going to tell you to stop you talking about the Lord. You talk about Christ by the way you live your life. I'm meddling now, right? I can't see the clock because there's a crab in the way. I got 4 minutes. I could really take advantage of that, couldn't I, Caleb? I went long. There's a crab in the way. Amen. I lost where I'm at. Here we go. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. Boy, what language. He's called us foreigners and exiles. What does that mean? It means that this isn't your home. You're passing through. Your home is in heaven. Your address is in heaven. Don't put your roots deep here. You're just passing through. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow. You're foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Man, how many of you have been in a war? I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, we go at it like it's a playground. It's anything but a playground. It is a battleground, and Satan is coming after you with everything he has. And that's why he says in Ephesians 6, to put on the full armor of God. Don't put on half the armor. If you leave your helmet of salvation off, guess where Satan's coming? For your head. He's going to come for your mind. You leave off that breastplate of righteousness, he's going to come for any area in your life that is exposed. You know what I'm talking about. Because right now as I'm preaching and you're listening to me, you know that you've been in a battle of your lifetime. And you know there's a war going on. It is a spiritual war happening in your life. He said, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. No matter what happens, you are to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. You want to know about the war? Have you ever wanted to lash back out when someone's come against you? Have you ever wanted to say something when someone has said something mean to you or done something mean to you? And you know what? You just want to give them what for. You know what that's called? That's called the flesh. It's rising up and it's swelling up, and next thing you know, you may say, what makes me feel better? But it doesn't look good on the Christian. He's telling us to keep walking. He's telling us to trust Him. He's telling us just to put our faith in Him. You know, the Bible says, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Doesn't mean for you to take vengeance. It means for you to trust the Lord that He'll take care of everything else. Whatever's going on in your life, get bent. You don't have to handle it. Just let the Lord do it. All you have to do is stand firm and let Him fight the battles for you. Let Him go before you. Let Him stand over you. Let Him be behind you. Let Him be beside you. Why is it that we think that God needs our help? I just want to go alongside God because He may not do it right. What? He created all that you see. All you have to do is let Him silence your enemies by trusting in the One who can. Peter is reminding us who we are, who we belong to, and to let Him fight our battles. All you have to do is trust that and trust Him. God, I can't do this, but You can. God, I can't fix my family, but You can. I can't fix this situation going on at work, but You can. And God, I don't know how to handle what's going on right now in my life. I'm struggling right now, but God, I know You can. The world wants you to forget that God can. And then you begin to doubt the goodness of God in your life. Will y'all repeat after me right now? God can. I can't. Let's pray. Father, thank You for reminding us that You can, we can't. And when the world tells us we're no good, we have no value, we're worthless, we're useless, Father, we know that that isn't true. All we have to do is look to Scripture, and all we have to do is look to Christ. That we are so worth it that You would spill Your own blood and You would die a death that was meant for us because You knew that we couldn't. And You did for us what we could not do for ourselves. The Bible even says, in this, while we were yet sinners, You died for us. The Bible says it was Your goodness that led us to repentance. Lord, I pray for that one here today that may be lost, that maybe today You've opened up their eyes and their heart to see Your goodness. Father, I am so unworthy, but I have been made worthy through the shed blood of Your Son, Jesus. Father, I lift up that one here today who has forgotten who they are. Father, we understand that we're in the battle. Lord, just remind us of a couple of things. Who we are and who we belong to. And that we don't have to fight anymore. All we have to do is trust in You. And You will fight for us. And there's no one else that I want any more than someone fighting for me, and that is You. I know there's some hurting souls. They've been through a lot in their lifetime. Lord, heal them strong and well. Father, now as we also shift to Vacation Bible School, Lord, I pray for every volunteer, every worker, every child that comes through these doors. I pray this one thing, that the presence of the Lord be in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together as we sing. Let's sing this last song with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Look at the words and listen to them as you sing. Don't be distracted by anything else. Just you and the Lord. Let's worship Him because He's worthy of our worship.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. And then through the darkness, Your loving kindness soared through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Give the Lord a hand, amen. If we could, I want to do one more thing. If you would be just seated just for a moment, just for a moment. I want to pray right now for our workers and volunteers. And so if you're working or volunteering in VBS, would you just stand for just a minute? If you're working and volunteering in VBS, you stand. We want to pray for you as you are working. Thank you so much for that time. There's going to be, I think we have 106 kids that are already pre-registered, maybe more than that now. I don't know. But every kid that comes through these doors, we want them to sense and feel the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may have been saved at Vacation Bible School. I was talking about that with someone the other day, and how Vacation Bible School was kind of instrumental in me over there off 32nd Street. There was a little church right there on the corner. I remember Kool-Aid and cookies and going there and them giving me the very early stages in my life Jesus. So every time you pass by that I can't not think for the life of me the name of that church off 32nd Street and Park Avenue right there on the corner. Park Avenue Baptist Church right there. Yeah, absolutely. I did not think he would remember, and he did. But anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Kevin McNichols, would you pray for all of these workers?
Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the word that was proclaimed today, Lord. I pray that for these young kids that's coming, Lord, I just pray that you'd open their eyes to you, that you'd use the hands and feet of these that have volunteered, Lord,
amen,
to guide your word, Lord, to touch their hearts. And Father, we realize things that are impossible for us, Lord, it's not impossible for you. Lord, they'll come from all different directions. And Lord, we just pray that you take their little minds and they focus upon who Jesus Christ is. Thank you again, Lord, for this beautiful day, for the blessings of life, because this is the day that the Lord has made, so we might rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.